Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The message for the second Sunday after Pentecost is from our gospel reading, which we just heard. Dear friends, today we rest from our best work and we rest from our worst work. For 6 days, some of us may have found fulfillment in that work, in our vocation, caring for others and fulfilling our duties with joy. Or maybe, perhaps, or for others, work has been a dread, labor and toil, sweating for bread to place food on our tables, to feed our loved ones. Work for the sinner is synonymous to fulfillment and fatigue. Adam and Eve in the garden were gifted everything, and God created all things for their good. And work only meant caring for the good gifts that the Creator has given. Work, after the fall into sin, though, meant toiling for food, sweating their faces. Perhaps it makes sense now why Adam and we despise the Sabbath. It is clearer now that we hate preaching and His Word on Sundays, that we don't hold it sacred enough, and we don't gladly hear it, the Word and gladly learn it. The Sabbath has become something terrible for many. It's become an inconvenience and a chore. It feels like a hassle and a burden. After 6 days of work, can't we just have our last day during the week resting and put up our feet instead of waking up again and coming here to rest? A day of rest to sleep in and chill. It must have been hard for Adam to face those free gifts and them being taken away from him instead of being with the Creator on that first Sabbath day, a day of rest which he enjoyed with his Creator, a day when instead of caring for the good gifts and the creation of God, he's being cared for by his Lord. So like Adam, today we are beyond physical exhaustions of the many things we picked up during the week, the shadows of sadness and moments we spent in dark places, all those secrets we keep for ourselves. We carry our emotional distress and physical weariness, and we bring it here. For 6 days, our ability to see the light of Christ have been clouded by the darkness of sin. These burdens are the same ancient burden of toil that Adam and Eve went through, both seen and unseen, leaving them yearning for a Savior, a rest, to rest with their God again, looking for that renewal, looking for that light in the darkness of sin. So Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. God created all things good for you, and he made the Sabbath day for you. The day of rest is for you, and it is good for you. It is for you, and it is for your sons and daughters and all the sojourners who are within your gates. Deuteronomy says, the God who freed his people out of slavery from Egypt, the God who gave the people of Israel the gift on Mount Sinai, where he gave the commandment about the Sabbath, that God is promising you and Israel today a greater rest from all the work. A God today that we have is a God that does all the work, just as he did during its 6 days of creation and on the day of rest where he cares for his creation, Adam. That God finished all the work on a Good Friday, and now he gives you the rest that he promised on this Sunday. His Sabbath is made for you because he sent his Son to be in service for you and not you made for the Sabbath, put in some work. That Son of Man that the Lord sent died and rested on a tomb for you and then rose on the third day and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, so that on this day of rest, the Lord of Sabbath may forgive you your sins. And that is what we call true rest. But this kind of rest may have seemed abstract for the Pharisees. Perhaps we may think more in line with these Pharisees because we are not slaves to a Pharaoh. Like them, we claim to know Scripture, and we do know our Bible pretty well. And we do go to church on Sundays and even go to Bible studies. And if you ask me, it seems I have put in the work. And I'd like to think I love God. And isn't this pleasing to Him that I have done all this, that I come to church and I go to Bible studies and I do my devotions and I pray? Surely I'm holier than these Pharisees who like to sit around on the Sabbath day and judging the disciples, plucking grains, eating bread on a day of rest. Rest to them meant no work. Rest to them meant doing work for their God. But we don't need a Pharisee to blame, to make the day of rest burdensome. We don't need them to twist it that what the Lord has made good for us, right and salutary, and make it into something boring for us and for our kids. For we have done that, and we need to repent for those days. Those days where I have made the Sabbath day of rest my work. The Pharisees made work by not plucking grains, and by doing that, they worked hard. How about you? What have you made the Sunday the day of rest about? Jesus tells us what Sunday is about as he speaks to the Pharisees. To them, it's hard to feast when the bridegroom is not there. It's hard to have a birthday party when the person you're celebrating is not there. Jesus says in chapter 2, verse 19, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as the bridegroom is with them, they cannot fast." What the Pharisees missed is that Christ is present before them. The Messiah is present, the one that Israel waited for so long. And the Messiah is angry and sad because of their hardened heart. And he says to them, "Have you never read what David did? You should have read it." And perhaps we are like these Pharisees. For them and for us, that part of the Bible, we don't spend time to read or bother to read, where David is haunted by Saul, who's trying to kill him. So David went alone in the house of the Lord to bring back food that he's not supposed to eat, food that is for the priest. And he brings back food for the men who were with him. David enters the temple, and he's in the presence of God there. The bread of presence he took, the showbread. But now for these Pharisees and the disciples, Jesus is in their presence, breaking bread with his body and the New Testament of his blood. So just as he sustains David as his man on this day, on this one Sabbath, Jesus sustains his disciples, feed them grain, feed them food, bread, in the presence of the Son of Man, the bread of life. So also for us this Sunday, The Lord is present today to sustain us, to sustain you and I in his supper. In this way, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And he gives you peace. This is your rest. Rest in Jesus Christ. Christ is your Sabbath. He comes to be present here, to work on you, and he will continue to do so until he returns again, to be present with you for eternity. You heard what David did when the priest let him eat without judgment. Now you too take, eat the body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins at his table. He's done all the work to put food on that table, to feed your mouth, to feed you hungry in body and soul. For in that food, at his table, there is true restoration. As he says to the withered man, come here. Just as he restores that man, he restores you with your withered mind and spirit and soul in the forgiveness of sins. He saves your life here, so stretch out your hand. Your best work and your worst work are forgiven. That forgiveness only flows from the cross, where the Son of Man stretches out his hand and with his creative word, the Lord of Sabbath, preserve you in the one true faith until he returns and be face to face with you with gladness and joy on the last day. In the name of the Lord of Sabbath, Jesus Christ,